May I speak in the name and to the glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Are you at peace this morning? Brothers and sisters, are you at peace? I hope so. I pray so. Are you at peace in your life? Do you have a sense of your place and purpose in the world? A confidence and calmness that you know who you are and what you're for? Peace that you can be something good in the world and do something creative in your life? I hope so. I pray so. Not everybody does. Are you at peace in your relationships? Peace at home with family and friends, knowing that you share a love and commitment that can negotiate the niggles that might come your way. Do you have harmony with your neighbours and colleagues, so that you can coexist and collaborate to the good of the world? I hope so. I pray so. Not everybody does. Are you at peace in your body, possessed of enough health and haleness to make life a blessing and not a daily painful burden as it is for some? I hope so. I pray so. Are you at peace in your spirit, knowing the life-giving, joy-sharing, faith-building, hope-growing, love-fostering peace of being a child of God? I hope so. I pray so. But look around at the world and the lives of people we meet. Look sometimes into our own hearts and we find a lack of peace. Individuals, peoples, nations, a world of discontents and pain. Places and souls where peace needs to be made. But how? This morning I would briefly like to share three moments of 20th century history where peace of a kind was made. They will speak of how peace can mean different things and that there are various ways to attempt to establish peace on earth. My first piece is of 1919, Versailles, the end of World War I. The Allies created a peace of separation and division. We are us, you are you. We won, you lost. We will live in our countries under our rules. You will live in your country under our rules. This will keep peace between us. Versailles, a peace of division and separation. Perhaps it worked for a while. My second peace came in 1945 at Hiroshima, a peace created by an act of incredible power, a peace forced through extreme violence, a peace inflicted by a grotesque warning, accept our peace or you will die like this. Peace of a kind. But the problem with peace by violence is it often needs more violence to keep it going. Peace did not follow Hiroshima, did it? Nagasaki was needed. My third and final 20th century peace is quite different, though. Perhaps it came as a reaction to 1945 and grew through the 1960s, finding its zenith in 1969. This is the peace, or perhaps the peace, man, of Woodstock. A peace of tolerance, permissiveness. A peace that says anything goes, don't be heavy. Don't make things mean too much. Go with the flow. Perhaps Woodstock brings a kind of peace, but it's a peace that opens space for the exploitation of the vulnerable and impressionable. A peace that left a void in some people's hearts as they wondered whether anything meant very much at all. But in a broken world, we will yearn for peace and wonder where we can find it. And sometimes maybe a peace like Versailles or Hiroshima or Woodstock feels like the best peace we can make in our own small worlds. Maybe we agree to tolerate things, to not get heavy about stuff, to keep the peace, like at Woodstock. Or sometimes maybe we enforce a kind of peace through some nature of threat. Not a nuclear bomb, but maybe some other kind of explosion. Don't do such and such, we tell the children. There will be a consequence. There will be a punishment. You will feel pain. Don't invite your congregation to sing a hymn yet, vicar. You might be up for a disciplinary. The peace of Hiroshima. A peace of sorts. But maybe most often we create peace like Versailles in our lives. Strong fences make good neighbours, the saying goes. So perhaps we separate our lives from those who might disturb our peace. Keep ourselves to ourselves. Keep company with people who like us, often people who are like us. And leave the people who might be different or disturbing. Give them space to do what they do. Be who they are. Often it's a very sensible, practical, unavoidable way of living. But it's peace at the cost of unity. It's peace at the cost of togetherness. It's peace at the cost of that fellowship that is Christ's longing. So, in a broken world, perhaps this can feel like the best kind of peace that we can get. And yet sometimes our hearts will long for a deeper, richer, more blessed peace. I hope they do. I pray they do. Sometimes we desire the kind of peace that we glimpse in Jesus. I hope we do. I pray we do. A different kind of peace from Woodstock, because Jesus knows that things matter. There is right and wrong. There is truth and falsehood. But his peace is prepared to work hard that the good may prevail, rather than shrug the shoulders and let anything go. If Christ is our peace, that's the kind of peace he is. It's a very different kind of peace from Hiroshima, because it does not inflict violence. No, it takes it on. It sucks it up on the cross. Jesus accepts the violence of the world. And to make peace returns nothing but love. If Christ is our peace, that's the kind of peace he is. It's a different kind of peace to Versailles. It doesn't put up barriers. It breaks them down. It knocks over all those dividing walls with which we separate ourselves. Because through the cross we are all made children of God, all brought into one family, which unites us around our Father. It knocks down the dividing walls between Jew and Gentile, between Protestant and Catholic, between American and Russian, and maybe after last week, between English and Italian. They're all gone. If Jesus is our peace, wouldn't we like a peace like that? I hope so. I pray so. And yet such a peace can feel distant, difficult, even daunting, can't it? In a world of such discontents. In a world where we might just be happy to find some limited patch of peace, wherever we can make it, wherever we can discover it. And in truth, Christ's peace is all those things. It's so big, so huge, difficult, daunting, distant. But no, it's not. For although it's something we cannot create or choose or command, it's there as a gift every day. When Jesus says, "Peace be with you, my peace I give you, my peace I leave with you, not as the world gives peace, do I give peace to you." Christ is the only one who can give this peace, which is himself. But it's his daily act, his daily offering, his daily yearning. So if, like me, you live with some discontents in your heart, as we've journeyed through this turbulent time, why not join me in beseeching Christ again to bring that peace into our very being? I hope you might. I pray you will. So that inviting the grace of that peace into our hearts, we may share peace in the world.